Stu is very blessed with the service this far, and inspired with the song service. As was mentioned, seemed like the worship, the spirit of worship, is here this morning. Our focus is on God. Our attention is in Him. Appreciated what Paul David had to share this morning. And I would say my message is somewhat a continuation of that. Before we go further, let's stand together and sing a couple more worship songs. Let's sing Great is the Lord, Greatly to be Praised, and then Come Bless the Lord. Brother Joe. Come bless the Lord. Heavenly Father, this morning we bless you, oh God, we bless you. We lift up our hearts to you. We lift up our voices to you. We give our faith in you, oh God. Lord, we just trust in you this morning that you will look down upon us, Father, that you will hear our hungry cries, oh God, and that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit presence today, oh God. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Thank you for what you are. Oh, God, we lift your name on high. Thank you, Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I want to turn to St. John, chapter 4. And read a few verses here. I think I'll start reading in the beginning. It says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus had baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee water. But he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us a well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. That's the thought that I've been thinking about this week very much, about that well of water that once springs up out of our innermost being. Jesus said, Come unto me and I will give thee of water that you shall not thirst, and it will become a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And over in John chapter 7 again, in verse 38, we again read, He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Is that your experience today? Are you experiencing rivers of living water flowing through you, flowing out from you? This is the Bible. This is the teaching of Jesus, that if we come to Him, He will cause rivers of water to flow out of us. And let's think a little about these rivers of water. What are these rivers of living water? Some questions. Does everyone that names the name of Jesus have rivers of living water? How do we get the rivers of living water? Do you have rivers of living water? If you are a Christian and don't have rivers of living water flowing out from you, what's wrong? What can you do to fix the problem if you aren't experiencing this today? It is normal Christianity to be that Christians should be experiencing rivers of living water. It's the Holy Spirit. One place it says here in John, it's speaking of the Holy Spirit coming down from God and coming within us and overflowing within us and flowing out to others. I believe that's what the rivers of living water are, that the Spirit of God is flowing down from heaven into our being and out through our being and touching other people's lives. Isn't that normal Christianity? That's what we should be experiencing today. That's what every one of us, what a beautiful church life that can be if every one of us are a vessel that God is flowing through, that the water of the Holy Spirit is flowing in from God and it's overflowing through our being and out to those around us. That everybody sees that we are different. That everybody just sees that there is a radiance coming forth from our life that is different than what other people have. Is that not what should be our experience today of every one of us? Are you experiencing the fresh flowing river? I love rivers. I love to be by the water where the waters are flowing clean. I love to see that. There's always a source of water. It's always coming and it's always going. It's a continual fresh flow of water, especially spring water. And it talks about it being like a spring where the water is continually coming. It's continually flowing. That's what God's plan is for you and I in our Christian life, that we will be vessels that God is flowing through. And our lives can have a freshness that is reaching out and touching and influencing those around us. This is normal Christianity. It can be your experience. It can be the experience of each one of us here this morning. What are these waters? We say it's the Holy Spirit. And I know we can talk about it being our witnessing, our speaking to others. You have to talk a lot to be have the waters of life flowing through you. I know you don't have to. Amen. What is it? What do these waters look like in our life? The water of life flowing through us from heaven into our heart and out to others. What does that water look like? Well, I believe number one is, as far as the Scripture would be concerned, it would be love. God says He sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And as God's love flows into our heart, His love flows out to others. And we can experience God's love in us and our love reaching out and touching others. I believe that's probably the primary, one of the most important experiences of living waters flowing through us. If we truly experience God's love in our hearts, and God's love is poured into our being, and it overflows and reaches out and touches those around us. That's the living water of God's Holy Spirit, I believe. Joy is another one. When we have the love of God in our heart, we have the freshness of His Spirit in our heart. We have joy in our heart. And people will see that radiating from our faces. They will see that radiating in our lives. They will see that there is joy in the heart of a child of God. Are you a joyful Christian this morning? Are you experiencing the presence of God in such a way that the joy of the Lord radiates out of your life? This can be your experience. It's like we talked about this morning. God is still working on us. Different ones have mentioned the experience that they are having with God and how that God is still working on us. And I believe this is God's purpose, God's goal, God's desire, that every one of us will be a river of life where the fruits of the Spirit are flowing out and touching lives and changing lives and influencing people to follow after God. What a powerful church that will be. What that can be when every one of us are experiencing that. And we are all growing in that and experiencing God's love and God's joy and His peace, the peace of God that comes from God, which passes all understanding, peace that the world doesn't understand. In a world that we're living in, when there's corruption and confusion and the government and the trash that's going on in the world today, we can still have peace. We can still be rejoicing. We don't need to be disturbed. We don't need to be upset and worried. But we can have peace in our hearts that no one can take away. Praise God. We have the love. We have the joy. We have peace. Another one that I notice as I read the Scriptures a lot that stands out over and over to me is thanksgiving. Colossians 2:7, it says about, I think I'll read Colossians 2:7, a beautiful verse there. I like the book of Colossians, and I was just reading this the other night to my neighbor, man. It stood out to me. It says, "Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein in thanksgiving." Are you abounding in thanksgiving? Are you a thankful person? Are you experiencing thanksgiving to God for all that God has done for us? That our thanksgiving is a way of life that we have a thankful heart. It's a thankful heart toward God. God pours out His love on us, and we have a thankful heart toward God and toward life, toward all the blessings of life that God bestows upon us. That is one of the great sins that the Bible talks about. If unthankful heart can take us down a wrong road real fast. In Romans chapter 1, it talks about but they were unthankful. Thanksgiving is a very important fruit of the Spirit. It's a very important element of the presence of God in our lives. There's so many. We could talk about compassion. Compassion for the lost. That compassion comes from God. That same compassion Jesus had for the people when He was here. He pours that into our hearts so that we have a compassion for those around us. He gives us compassion for the hurting. Compassion for the low down and for the lost and the hurting one. God wants us to have that same presence within us as He had when He was here. You could sum it all up, it's simply Jesus Christ Himself flowing through us. That's really what it is. It's being Christ. Christ wants to flow through you and I. He wants us to be like Him. He wants to be what He was. And He wants us to be a representation of Him here in this time. That's what we're here for. That's why we're here today. We're here to represent Jesus Christ, and we're here to let Him in His very presence flow out through us and do the same work He did when He was here, ministering to the poor, reaching out to the pain, to the hurting, to those that are suffering, those that are ill, all the life that Jesus lived when He was here should be the life that is flowing through us and reaching out to others. This is the life that God wants every one of His people to be experiencing. We could go through all the fruits of the Spirit: faith, gentleness, meekness, long-suffering. All these things are the essence in the presence of God. Those things that are of God, the fruits of God flowing through us and reaching out and touching others. Forgiveness. Oh, Jesus was the great forgiver. How do we have any right to hold a grudge against anyone? We have no right to hold a grudge against anyone. We are called to forgive. Whenever we go through life, you know, you get bumped around sometimes. You get pushed around. But Jesus did too. And He forgave. He forgave those that nailed Him to the cross. He forgave those that beat Him and whipped Him and mocked Him. Forgiveness should be radiating out of our life continually. And it would solve so many problems. Forgiveness, unforgiveness is the reason for so many problems in life and in churches. But we can have that forgiving spirit flowing through us and radiating out to others around us. Life can be so pleasant. It can be so beautiful. Praise and adoration. Like we've heard this morning, that of the worshiping of God, the praise should, and adoration and thanksgiving and the name of Jesus, all these things should be on our lips 7 days a week. Right, Brother Willard? It's not just Sunday morning worship. 7 days a week, we should have that spirit in our heart, the spirit of praise and worship and adoration to our God. And if we have that in our lives, people will notice a difference. They'll see that there's something different about us because the world doesn't have that. The world isn't experiencing that. How that we speak, our voice, one place it said, our words, speech with grace, seasoned with salt. Our words should be spoken in such a way that the presence of God is there. And the wisdom that God gives, wisdom to us to know how to relate to situations in life. There's so many things. The list could go on and on. But it's basically, like we said, it's Christ Himself working through us and radiating out so that the world can see Jesus and not us. Another thought I have is that if we have the Spirit of God flowing through us, Our affection will be set on heaven and not on this world. We will be otherworldly. Otherworldliness will be in our heart, not this world. But our affections will be on the other world. We will be attracted to the things of heaven. And we will speak of the things of heaven, the things of eternity. We will be minded that way so that this life here is just a temporary time. We know it's just a short time, and then we're going to be with Him throughout all of eternity. It's so short, and it's no reason to get upset because things don't go the way we think they should. They put in the wrong president or something. He's going to be defeated anyhow. God's going to come. Jesus is going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. These nations are all going to be destroyed. Praise God. We have another heaven. We have another world to look forward to. Okay, this is beautiful. This is beautiful when we all can experience this life. Are we all experiencing it? If not, why not? What can we do about it? What is it that stands in the way of that flow in our lives? What's hindering that flow of the Holy Spirit through our lives? And all those things that we talked about. What are the things that hinder that? I think it could probably all be summed up with the word self. Ourselves stand in the way. Ourself has to die. Ourself has to be done away with. Just like Paul David said this morning, how he had to go through his life and he had to clean out the corners and get rid of the cobwebs and allow God to come in and clean him out. That's the kind of experience that many of us need this morning, where we can just allow God to come down and wash us and cleanse us and sanctify us and clean out the cobwebs in our life so that the Spirit of God can flow through us. That's what God's desire and plan is for every one of us. What are some of the evidences of self in our life? What are some of the things that are evidence that it's not what it ought to be? Well, there's pride. That's one of the biggest, ugliest ones that there is. When we have pride, that we just think we're pretty good, we think we're doing it all right, and we just feel pretty good about ourselves. That is one of the worst enemies that God has for His working in our lives. Pride must go. There's no room for pride. And pride shows itself in so many ways. We must die to our pride. We must repent of pride. Anger. Some people have a problem with anger more than they should. Now, I was reading, one writer said that we should have an anger against sin. We should have an anger against the things of the world that are creeping in and the things that we don't want in the church. There should be a certain godly anger, but we should not have an anger that would cause us to sin, an anger that would cause us to fall. Lust and immorality in our hearts is not going to allow the Spirit of God to flow through us. If we have uncleanness and lust and immorality in our lives, God's Spirit is quenched. It is hindered. We're not going to experience the fullness of God and the cleansing of God in our life. contention, rebellion, all these things hinder the work of God in our hearts this morning. A critical spirit. Being continually down and bitter and a root of bitterness. Worry and unkindness, lawlessness, self-glorying, unforgiveness, fear, all these things need to be cleansed out of our life. If we have these things in our life, we are not going to be a vessel that God can use. Self-righteousness, feeling that we are better than others. Materialism, we are so overcharged with the cares of this life that there's no room for God to be working. There's no room for God to be in control. We're so overcharged with everything around us. Materialism. These things are hindrances. These are things that we need to deal with in our lives. These are things that we need to check our hearts and see. Where are we? Where are we with God? Are we free in our heart? It is possible, I will tell you, brothers and sisters, it's possible to get free with God. It's possible to have a free heart. We don't have to live our life in defeat. We do not have to live with worldliness and trash in our lives. We can be free in Jesus. We do not have to, we can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It's the plan of God. It's the purpose of God. And it's available to every one of us here. It's God's plan for you this morning. And if you're not experiencing that, you know what to do. Cry out to God. Seek God with all your heart. And ask Him to show you yourself. Ask Him to show you yourself. That you might be able to see yourself as He sees you. There's something there that's hindering you from experiencing the blessing of God and the power of God in your life. Open your heart up to God. Pray and fast and seek God for your own soul. God wants you to be clean. He wants you to be free. He wants you to be experiencing the power and the presence of God in your life today. And He will do it. He will do it if you get serious with Him. If you open your heart to Him, He wants to fill you with His love. He wants to fill you with His Spirit. He wants to wash you, cleanse you, sanctify you. And He wants to flow through you and reach out to touch others. Another thing I'm going to mention is how that God, when we really get serious with God, God will bring circumstances into our life to break us, to change us, to bring us to the end of ourselves, so that we no longer have anything to stand on of ourselves. And all we have to do is to rest in Him. God wants to purge us. He wants to break us. He wants to cleanse us. He wants to deal with all that self-life within us. And when we come to God and open our hearts to Him, He will cleanse us. He will sanctify us. He will fill us with His Holy Spirit and change our lives. I know we talk about the Holy Spirit is something that we receive whenever we are born again. We can't be born again without the Holy Spirit. But yet, this Holy Spirit is hindered by our lack of sanctification. It's not able to flow freely like a stream or a river of water flowing through us because there's too much garbage in our life that has not been dealt with. There's too much pride. There's too much self there that hinders the Spirit of God from working through us and flowing through us and making us what He wants us to be. If we get desperate with God and open up our hearts, like I've heard different brethren doing here this morning and in the recent past, and say, God, I'm tired of this half-hearted Christianity. I'm tired of living like this. I want it to be all for You. I want all that You have for me. Nothing less than that. And you get desperate with God, He's going to take you places you never knew of. God will sanctify your life. He will fill you with His presence in a way that you have never experienced before. There's no limit with God. His hand is not short. He is there to save, to sanctify, to fill us with His presence, and to build us up and use us as vessels in His kingdom for His glory, for His purpose, to build a church that is spotless, a church that is ready to meet Him when He comes. God is building His church, and He is here today, working in our hearts today. I know He is. I hear it in the testimonies of the people, and it thrills my heart. And I want to encourage every one of us to lay hold of our salvation, to open our hearts to God, allow Him to take us wherever He wants us. You have to have that desire. You have to have that commitment in your heart. If you're satisfied with a life that is full of pleasures and worldliness and things and anything that this world has to offer, if that's the kind of life you're satisfied with, you're going to go the wrong direction. It's not going to satisfy. It's going to bring more and more dissatisfaction. It's going to bring bondage. It's going to take you where you don't want to go. And my plea is, we're going to be going backwards or forwards. I don't believe there's any sitting still place in the Christian life. If you're not going forwards, you're going to be going backwards. We must be pursuing after God with all of our heart. There's no place to relax and sit down and think we've attained, because we have not. We have a holy God that we are serving, and God wants to work in us to accomplish His purpose in making us all that He wants us to be. In my encouragement to every one of you here this morning, seek God with all of your heart. Turn your heart over to God. Let Him go into the rooms of your life and clean out the cobwebs and clean out the garbage. Make you a vessel that He can use, that He can flow through you and bring glory to His name. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.